Welcome to our Saturday simulcast. Brian Newbert, Tom Dienhart are joining me, Alan Karpik, and we appreciate you taking the time to listen and watch this. And also want to thank our sponsors, the Purdue Union Club Hotel. It'll be exciting to be working with them in the 2021-22 season. Have a couple new ideas and some things. We're looking at a couple of appearances at the facility. It is a beautiful facility, and we hope that as people return to campus that they'll visit the Purdue Union Club Hotel and the 811 restaurant, the Boiler Up Bar. It is a beautiful spot, and it will be busy this fall with this return of football to Ross-Ade Stadium. A lot going on in the world of college sports, not all of it, at least from my perspective, guys, that I can figure out. I'm going to start, Brian, with you in June, and the fact that June is now over. It is July the 3rd, and that means the transfer portal is closed. Football recruiting had a very, very flurry of activity here in the last week. Just what are your overall impressions, you know, after looking at how June transpired from a football standpoint? I know you've been doing a lot of basketball as well, but give us your thumbnail on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the enduring lessons here is that I think the scholarship numbers are always going to be a kind of a mirage. I think, you know, college coaches all across the country are going to be pretty aggressive with things. They're going to keep maxing out their numbers, but they're also going to keep, you know, splitting this thing up between, you know, the early portion of the process, which is the high school kids, and then the late portion of the process, which is probably the more impactful part of it. That being the transfer wire. And, you know, I didn't think Purdue would take more than 8, 9, 10 guys total for the summer. And, you know, here they are with, what is it, a dozen now? And
yeah, 12.
Clearly still in the market for at least a couple more if they can get the right guys to drop. So I think this was maybe a little bit busier than, you know, I anticipated. I figured that it would be, you know, pretty wild because all these guys were so eager to take visits and all that stuff. And, but it's the volume of it all has probably been a little bit slightly surprising to me. The fact that a number of guys committed really early instead of taking all their visits and then waiting till the end of June to commit maybe was a little bit opposite of what I expected as well. I kind of figured a lot of guys would just take all their visits in June and then come July 1st, it would be, you know, the floodgates opening. But every kid's different. Every kid's level of opportunity is different. And a lot of kids came into June kind of knowing what they wanted, just needed to formalize it. So I guess, you know, perhaps it's not all that big a surprise, but for Purdue to have already come out of this with 12 commitments and counting going into the fall was a little bit surprising to me.
Tom, you obviously had a chance to track down a number of the coaches of these kids, and just an overriding, is there an overriding impression or a common theme, or how do you take this month of June? It was a busy one, certainly, but you know, in terms of how that not only the roster is going to look this year, but also down the road from the kind of emphasis that Jeff Brohm has had in recruiting.
Yeah. Like Brian said, I was a little surprised too by the flurry of activity there. I guess we kind of thought maybe Purdue would take around 12 to 15 high school kids here and leave some wiggle room. I mean, as he noted, they're already at 12 as we speak commitments for 2022. Which seems to be close to the ceiling we kind of speculated on. So it'll be interesting to see how the staff navigates and negotiates and continues to tweak and add to this class. But I guess to me, one of the themes so far has been the emphasis on the offensive line, right? I mean, one third of the commitments right now are offensive linemen. They've got four of them in the fold, two from New Jersey. Very interesting guys. Of course, Andre Oben, whose father, Roman Oben, played with Jeff Brohm at Louisville, was I think a third round pick of the Giants. Played in the NFL for a while too. So he's intriguing. And they just got the center from Louisiana. And I think that's been another interesting development too, guys, has been the reach into the deep south of Louisiana thus far in this class. I guess we have to credit special teams coordinator, Marty Biaggi with that. So he's really expanded Purdue's scope into that that neck of the woods, into Texas too. I know he's played a big role in getting J.P. Dieter from south of Houston as well, from Manville, Texas, place that produced De'Aaron King and Kyle Trask, among other pros. So, yeah, again, I think, like I said off the top, the offensive lineman push here has been interesting so far. Of course, Purdue still doesn't have a commitment from, I guess, a true wide receiver at this point either. The one kid, Terrence Thomas, listed as an athlete, you know, he's a guy that could be a slot receiver, but I'm told Purdue's going to start him off at running back. He also could end up in the secondary for all we know. But again, I'm sure Purdue's going to want to add a true wide out here at some point.
Now, Brian, you look at it and how this may, you know, there's still some big fish out there for Jeff Brohm that he's looking at and trying to get committed. Does the offensive line, I mean, maybe not knowing any better, I would have thought, boy, you know, you could do more. Maybe does it surprise you, I guess, is the best way of saying that, how many offensive linemen they've taken in the world of the transfer portal, where you can get maybe more made ready type of offensive linemen? Or is this, do you think this is a philosophy that we're going to see out of Jeff Brohm?
Yeah, when you have, you know, very few scholarships, you are always surprised when they take four of any position. He's always said that, you know, he's willing to oversign the offensive line because you want to make sure that you have enough bodies there. But at the same time, things different now. Things are different now. And you can go out and get a couple next year off the transfer wire. And they're still probably gonna, I would have to imagine. I don't think the day is going to come anytime soon where Purdue is out of the offensive line transfer market. But, you know, four is a big number for a 25-man class. Four is a really big number for a 15-man class, which is what they're kind of looking at, it looks like, from a high school class perspective. But it's important. They have to get better there. I mean, when you look at the investment they've made in the offensive line, how many college programs have two, you know, full-time offensive line coaches on their staff? That's what Purdue has now with Dale Williams and Neil Callaway. Also, you look at it like, a bunch of offensive linemen this offseason have been retired because of health considerations. And so the numbers, you know, have taken a bit of a hit here. So as the numbers keep evolving, maybe the numbers get less surprising as you look at what Purdue is bringing in here. But obviously it's important for Purdue. It's important for Purdue, I think, to find its next center. And I think that's what they got Malachi Preciado to do. I think recruiting true centers is hard. Obviously, you know, you've got Gus Hartwig in the program now. Maybe he takes that position over. I don't know, but that's an important spot for them. The offensive tackles in Cross Watson and Vince Carpenter are, you know, that's going to be important developmental guys. And then lots of names bounce around in my head here.
No, it's hard to keep track.
Obviously, Andre Oben, I thought he was going to be a center, but maybe he projects as a guard now. And just trying to get a little bit of everything here. And, you know, Purdue wants to be interchangeable to a certain extent on the offensive line. Seems like they have four guys here who can, you know, do some different things. It just, it comes down to finding the right guys in the front end, but then doing a great job developing them, keeping them healthy. You know, for one thing, not that you necessarily control that, but, you know, the player development part of this now has to take over and do its job.
You know, Tom, you talked about no receivers yet. And yet this, you look at the 35,000 foot view of the Purdue roster, which is a full-time job to try to keep hold of. So that may be not as surprising just because you've got a lot of guys in that position, but you know, how do you view that with respect to positions of need on this roster and what you've seen, not only the transfer portal, but in recruiting?
I still think if I was a coach for Purdue right now, I would have liked to have added a veteran cornerback through the portal. With CJ McWilliams not being available because of his eye issue, you lose him, he's going to probably be a nickelback safety, a real versatile piece in the secondary. So again, you look at the total depth chart of cornerback, like I said, I think I'd feel a little better if I could have added another veteran option there. I know Purdue tried to, and it hasn't worked out. So I think that's one area to watch. I mean, Corey Trice is going to be, I think, a good anchor there. Is Jamari Brown going to be able to overtake Dedrick Mackey as the other starting cornerback? They have a couple youngsters there, Niles Beverly, and Anthony Romph. Are they going to be ready to contribute? So that's a position I'm going to be watching closely here. Otherwise, you know, I think Purdue has to feel pretty decent going into this fall. I guess if there's one other spot on offense, maybe that I think a lot of people are going to watch, it's going to be the running back spot. Of course, we talked for months about Purdue looking for a running back in the portal, targeted a few guys, nothing worked out. The door seemingly is closed there. They're going to go into the season with, you know, the two veteran guys in Horvath and DeRue. They have Dylan Downing, the UNLV kid, as well. Jaquez Cross, the incoming freshman. Who knows, maybe this guy they added lately here, this walk-on, preferred walk-on from Boonville, Indiana, Devin Maccabee, maybe that's a guy that can help. So I think that's a spot you would have liked to maybe try to get a guy who was a veteran, but also a veteran who had a little bit of zip and speed to him too.
Yeah, going to be a storyline. Skill positions, obviously, the most important part of that. Jeff Brohm's offense is going to work at the level that it wants to work. I don't know if you say it's most important because we keep talking about the offensive line, but that is certainly a key factor. Okay, now also on July the 1st, we started this name, image, and likeness kind of was thrust out of the gate. And it was an interesting day on Thursday just to see kind of a lot of this stuff unfold. Brian, you followed this very closely, you know, it's the new normal. It's the Wild West. How do you see what you saw not only yesterday, but what you see coming down the pike with respect to how this is going to mesh well in the college athletics model?
Well, it seems like the Wild West because everything's so new and yesterday was the first day. Time will tell what ultimately this means in terms of the actual product on the floor or the field, but this is how it should have been all along. And I think that's part of it. I think viewing this as a bad thing or a destructive thing is a little bit short-sighted, inaccurate, however you put it. I think it's fair. I think it's capitalism. And I think that this is how it should have been all along. And I think following, you know, kind of looking at the first day of at least what came out publicly, I think what you see is that, you know, from I don't want to call it concerns, but I think interesting things that came about were that, you know, I don't know how much rank, necessarily determines all of this. You know, there were two things at Purdue that came out. One was a backup offensive lineman getting something, and one was a walk-on getting something for the basketball team. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens in what markets. Are we going to see any real whale type of things come out with some of the bigger stars? Are the Jaden Ivies at Purdue going to get something, you know, much more significant than some of the things we've seen so far? I think one takeaway from this for me too is that, you know, I think obviously there are resources at these student athletes' disposals in terms of good business and bad business, but I think it's important that you probably just don't grab the quickest money that comes your way. Too, and you try to be strategic about it if you can. Now, obviously, if you only have so many options, you're going to take what you can get. And as is the case in every walk of life, some money is better than no money in almost all cases, unless it's dirty money of some kind. But like, I see athletes pairing up with Barstool and all that stuff, and it's like, well, you know, Barstool has a lot of, you know, controversy around it historically, whether it's the misogyny, whether it's the online bullying, whether it's just the general, you know, stench of it all, but also they just started a sports book and, you know, college athletes being aligned with something that is involved in sports betting, sports gambling, you know, I just wonder if anybody's going to come to regret that over time. You know, you also don't know what sort of things are going to come out in the court of public opinion from some companies or enterprises that you align yourself with. And the last thing you want to do too is hurt your own brand by trying to enhance your own brand. And that's just part of public life too. And I think that's going to be something important that naturally young people are going to have to, you know, learn through mistakes in some cases, but I think there are lots of mistakes there to be made. I think it's important that they also, depending on, you know, the wisdom of their circles or the wisdom of inherently in themselves, it's important that they rely on professionals in this case to sort of guide them. The people laughing at them because they now have to pay taxes are just bitter. I don't understand that part of it. But somebody is going to make them aware they have to pay taxes. And again, if you pay taxes on money, having some money is better than having no money. So, but I think it's important that, you know, there are people, whether they be brand managers or private consultants or the universities or whatever it might be, that they heed the input of people who understand such things, whether it's SIDs, whether it's athletic department personnel, whether it's their own third party advisors. But there is going to be a cottage industry of people who are also making money off of this. There's going to be all sorts of advisors out there, all sorts of services being offered to these athletes, obviously at a cut. I think there is going to be a memorabilia business that's going to crop up out of this. I think the trading card companies will get involved in this eventually. I think that you could start a company to advise and help in the operation of a nationwide network of camps. Can identify people who might be a sell in that regard, whether it be in their hometowns or on their college campuses, they could assist in the promotion and operation of camps. That's going to be a big part of this. There's going to be all sorts of social media brand managers getting athletes on Instagram and getting the female athletes on Instagram, especially. Unfortunately, that's the way culture works. But it is going to be interesting. A lot of people are going to make a lot of money off of this, and the athletes aren't going to be the only ones making the money off of this.
Yeah, Purdue, Tom.
That was a long answer.
Yeah, but you know, I think it's just an interesting deal that you don't know. You know, Purdue obviously has got partnerships with influencer and other things that are there to help. And you see it in recruiting too, in terms of building the brand and you know, trying to make it, hey, we're going to help you do this. Tom, your impressions is what you've seen. You know, you got Xander Horvath toting some art, which is obviously something that he does well. And yet, again, is this a case of, you know, we just have to let the dust settle and work our way into this? It seems to me that to be the common tack for those of us that are just kind of watching this unfold.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Alan. It kind of reminds me of, I guess, the old gold rush in the 1800s, right? It seems like everybody thinks, "Wow, oh, they're all going to get rich. We're all going to get real rich here real quick." And I don't know. I guess I don't envision it. And people talk about how it's going to change the structure or the balance of power. I don't see it either. I think things are going to remain relatively the same. I don't think this is going to – just because Boise State, you can be a quarterback at Boise State now, all these great quarterbacks want to go there because it's a small market and they love the Boise State Broncos. I just don't see it. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, again, as far as guys making a lot of money, to me, it seems like it's going to be a small percentage of guys that make a lot of money. You know, make whatever you can. To me, I just don't envision this being the game changer. Some people envision wide scale game changer, I guess. If you want, you can get a tattoo from Tyler Whitt now. You see that?
Yeah.
Now, to me, that was one of the most unique developments. I thought I would get more play yesterday. I hadn't seen any players say they're a tattoo artist right now and DM me. I can take your order. So that's your chance to get your Purdue Pete tattoo, Alan. But again,
I'm ready.
I'm not sure. You know, like I said, Purdue, I remember talking to Bobinski about this a couple months ago, and they're going to fully educate their student athletes. I think Crandon's going to have a class for all of them to take to deal with tax implications. And again, all the pitfalls and that can accompany, you know, running your own business and having the proper social profile as well. So they'll do all they can to keep these guys on the straight and narrow and educate them on, you know, how to conduct this. But again, it's going to take a while to see how it all fleshes out. again, it just seems hard for me to think that how many people are going to want to pay Michael Penix Jr. $500 an hour for something?
That's ambitious.
I just don't see it. I mean, we're going to have the LSU gymnast, the twin basketball players at Fresno State. You're going to have these oddballs that have a million Instagram followers that are going to do well. But by and large, I guess I'll believe it when I see that. This really is financially transformational for a lot of people.
Well, this is also going to, I think, change college sports in a front-facing manner to a certain extent. I think if you are going to have a brand to monetize coming to college, you need to establish it before you get to college. I think you are going to see a lot of high school kids now, you know, start to act like this. I think you're going to, well, I shouldn't say start to act like this, but be more conscious of what they put on social media, which probably inherently for them is a good thing. I think that you're going to see probably more media access, more of that sort of thing, because you can't build your brand when you're not on camera in a lot of ways. And I think that, you know, schools will probably want to facilitate more of that stuff. I think this probably maybe helps keep athletes out of trouble because, you know, if you understand you have a little bit more on the line and all of a sudden you have to, or you're thinking in a way that makes you want to be more palatable to mainstream audiences, perhaps you are less likely to get in that fight. Or if you're Brad Davison, you're less likely to punch somebody in the manhood coming off a ball screen, you know, things like that. I just think it will change young people who are thinking in this manner. Now, when we're young, often it's just the 6 inches in front of our face is all we're worried about. But those who are thinking bigger picture on this sort of thing, I do think it will change their behavior a little bit naturally.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing to watch, because it could, and I think, Ryan, you've written about a little bit this week in terms of this could benefit, you don't see this, you know, there's been talk that it's only going to benefit the Alabamas or the big schools or the bigger markets, the Columbus, Ohio markets, but, you know, maybe West Lafayette, maybe Purdue, maybe where it sits in the marketplace may end up being an advantage. I mean, you can flush that out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, where can you stand out faster? I mean, the most important part of this is that you stand out. Now, as I just mentioned before, we have seen some people who have not necessarily played leading roles on their teams here at Purdue get some opportunities already. But the example I like to use is Rondell Moore. Had he gone to Texas, you know, he would not have been the star he was right away. He would not have been the viral sensation he was right away, most likely. And even if he was, Austin, Texas is a massive media market. You're dealing with the Cowboys. You're dealing with the Mavericks. You're dealing with the Dallas Stars. To a lesser extent, you're dealing with Texas A&M. You're dealing with Baylor, Texas Tech. You've got a flooded marketplace. Now, obviously, Purdue is not the only game in town in the state of Indiana when you have Notre Dame, IU, and the professional teams in Indianapolis, not to mention the Bears, the Reds, and all of those sorts of places. But in Lafayette, you're a bigger deal than you would be in Austin. You would have, you might not get the national traction necessarily. Not that Rondell Moore didn't, but I think the opportunity to get on the field right away, the opportunity to show what he was all about at Purdue, put him in a position where he could have made much more out of this at Purdue than he would have had he stuck at Texas. Is George Karloftis a bigger name at Purdue, or is he a bigger name at Ohio State, where he's one of 10 first round draft picks on the roster? He's a bigger deal at Purdue because he could start right away as a freshman. He could be a star right away at Purdue because he's from West Lafayette. People know him already. And how the Parthenon hasn't gotten on that one already, I have no idea. But sorry, I ate there last night, so it was top of mind. So I just think the opportunity, you know, at Purdue to stand out right away and be the big fish in the smaller pond, I think there's advantage to that. Not game-changing advantage, but not a disadvantage either. And, you know, Purdue has done, you know, has put resources in place. They've incorporated the Krannert School into some things and recruiting and whatnot. And I don't think this is a terrible thing for Purdue. I don't think it's a bad thing for Purdue. I think this can, in some ways, help Purdue.
Yeah, it's going to be. That's a storyline that, again, maybe it was Tom we talked about. Just watching it all unfold and seeing where it goes. All right, we'll give you a chance to talk about your week and maybe also your week ahead. Was there a story or behind the scenes event, somebody you talked to that this week that made a lasting impression? And then also with I'll start with you, Tom. What is your storyline? Obviously, you've got July being a little bit quieter in terms of the transfer portal, but still a lot to get ready for as we look ahead to the 2021 season.
Yeah, it was fun kind of getting to know a little bit more about these recent commitments. Some real fun coaches to speak with recently. The head coach at Manville, Texas, J.P. Dieter's head coach, was quite a character. Just could really.
I liked his quote. What was it? J.P. doesn't play well with others in football.
Yeah, I thought that was he was a fun guy to speak with, right out of Central Casting. As far as if you're looking for that the quintessential stereotypical Texas high school football coach, he was it. Andre Oben, of course, sharp kid. I spoke to Andre. Spoke to his head coach at St. Peter's Prep there in Jersey City. Sharp kid. Of course, the bloodlines. I remember his dad. I remember he played the Louisville Roman Open. And, of course, went on in the NFL, played with the Giants. Still works in the National Football League. Andre's got a brother, RJ, who's a defensive end at Duke. Just an intriguing guy. And seems like a really nice addition. And I think one guy who maybe is a little underrated, maybe doesn't get the hype he deserves, is the Kentrell Marks kid from Parma Heights, Ohio, Cleveland suburb. A bigger back, listed at 6'1", taller back. I think he could be a real difference maker for Purdue. Had some nice offers as well. So it was fun talking to his coach and getting a real idea of the type of player he is. He was already his conference player of the year last year as a junior. So that's a kid I'm really intrigued to watch develop.
All right, Brian, I'm going to give you a minute to formulate your thought on your behind the scenes. Obviously, you've got recruiting stuff this month, and you can say whatever you would like. I'll say couple things this week that impressed me. One, an interview with Kelsey Barlow, and we'll have that on our site sometime over the weekend as he gets ready for the Men of Mackey. It's always Kelsey keeps you on your toes. I enjoyed the interview and enjoyed talking to Kelsey, and he making statements like I'm going where the wind takes me. And he was very upfront about his departure from Purdue. Not that we really focused a lot on it, but the fact that he's going to be playing with a lot of the guys that he played with, I think is an interesting addition. And the second one was on Thursday, was involved at the Board of Business Exchange down in Indianapolis and saw Tony and Kelly Trent, and everybody knows the parents of Tyler Trent. They had a golf outing on Monday that raised a bunch of money. They were at this event on Thursday. And all I was going to say is just how these people keep pushing forward and doing a lot of good for a lot of people. They're very, very impressive. We've all come to know them, and they are keeping Tyler's legacy alive, but doing it in a very, very positive manner, and you just see them constantly, at least I do. And I think that and the tie with the Purdue Center for Cancer Research is very, very important. So those are my impressions for the week. Brian, how about you?
Yeah, in terms of interesting people I talked to this week, I can't top Kelsey Barlow. I covered Kelsey for three or four years, great. And it was a Hunter S. Thompson novel.
Yes, it was.
I talked to two recruits this week who I think are interesting. First is Jalen Washington, who I think is one of the nicest, most normal, most pleasant recruits of that caliber I've ever covered. And just a really, really nice human being. And don't ever change Jalen Washington. So him, obviously, he officially visited Purdue. So that's what that was all about. And then Malachi Preciado, the center who we talked about before, who committed to Purdue on whatever night it was. I don't, well, he committed over the weekend, I think, but he didn't say anything until I called him. So, well, lucky me. But he was really an entertaining conversation, because Louisiana kids are funny. They are a little bit different. They are very confident. They're very colorful, and they will bring a certain personality to whatever school they go to. And his quotes about himself as a player, about wanting to impose his will on people and take will from his opponents, and how much fun he has chasing linebackers, I thought was really interesting. Purdue's recruiting Louisiana, you know, like crazy, and they're going to end up with a bunch of kids from Louisiana here. And, you know, West Lafayette and New Orleans are two very, very different places.
Yeah, they are.
Different planets, basically. But I'll tell you one thing. If Purdue gets a bunch of Louisiana kids, they will have big personalities, and they will be interesting.
Yeah. All right. That's I think that's well said. And both of you, both interesting takes for the week. All right. I want to thank the Purdue Union Club Hotel, and we're looking forward to working for them with the 2021-22 season. And also want to remind folks that if you want to subscribe or become a member of goldenblack.com, you can do so by going to our website, and you'll get everything that Brian and Tom think on a daily basis as it comes to sports. So, and everything else. Really, we appreciate all of our members and the people that have been supporting us all these years. So guys, have a great July 4th, a safe one as well. And we're hard to believe, less than what is it, Tom? July 23rd is media day for football.
Yeah, I'm hearing that training camp would be start on August 5th, so we're almost in within what a month of that window too.
Yeah, so it's all coming around fast, but we'll also enjoy your month of July, everyone, and have a safe 4th. So thanks for listening and watching, and have a great week, everybody.